Today on Brave, a message from Jeff Schwarzentraub.
There's no trial you're going through that's too great for you. It feels that way, I give you that. It totally feels that way. Even sometimes when I'm talking to people and I know the trial they're going through, I think, I don't know that I could have handled that trial. But it's not too big for God's grace. It's not too hard for Him. And He's taking you through it to help build you into who He wants you to be.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Have you noticed that when things in life don't go your way or you feel stuck in a storm, that's usually when your faith gets put to the test? Monday on Brave, Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub explains how the testing of our faith isn't meant to break us, but rather to strengthen us. We're learning how times of trial can bring us closer to the power and will of God, as we continue our brand new study in the book of James called Walk Your Talk. And remember, any of these daily messages are available anytime at our website, bravemedia.online. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with today's lesson.
Today, we're going to talk about the blessing of trials. The blessing of trials. You heard me right. And by the end of the message, you'll understand why. So I want you to open your Bibles up to the book of James, and we'll start walking our way through those first 12 verses here this morning. And you're gonna see in those first couple, James is gonna introduce himself, and then he's gonna talk about who he's addressing this book to. He says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, and here's his big introduction. Greetings. He's writing to those who have lost their homes. They've lost family members to martyrdom. They've lost their jobs. They've been persecuted. They've been suffering. This is who he's writing to. Now, get that in your head, because when you're talking to somebody who's hurting because they've been through significant challenge and trial, how would you want to spend time talking to them? He says, greetings. Then the first words out, penned by the Holy Spirit, are this. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I think of a trial as a temporary season of increased intensity or challenge designed by God for significant spiritual growth in you and greater kingdom impact for others. That's what a trial is. The purpose of a trial is to grow you. God wants you to know four ways this morning that you can grow through trials. Let me give you the first way to respond to a trial. When you respond correctly to a trial, you grow in spiritual maturity, resulting in greater Christ-likeness. I rejoice that God loves me enough that he has sent this trial my way, because there's something he wants to see me grow in that otherwise I wouldn't be able to grow in. So I'm gonna stop, I'm gonna pause, I'm gonna consider it that this is all joy. This is a really good thing. Because if we come here and we're a Christian and we're, hey, I'll sign up for spiritual maturity. I want more of that. But don't send me any trials. Trials is oftentimes how God grows us to become spiritually mature, resulting in what? Christ-likeness. That's the goal of our faith, is to be like Christ. Trials are opportunities for you to demonstrate that you really believe what you say you believe. Not only for your own personal growth and edification, but for all the others out there that heard you say, I'm no longer like this, I'm like this. The trial hits, and that's where the rubber meets the road. Are you really gonna walk your talk? Do you really believe that Jesus is still in charge even when you're going through this challenge, even when you're going through this difficulty, even when the intensity's been turned way, way up in your life? That's how we grow spiritually. Trials are good. They're a blessing. When they come in your way, just stop and pause and thank God that he counts you worthy enough to go through a trial, because he's growing your spiritual muscle and maturity, and he's making you more like Jesus. Secondly is this. When you respond correctly to a trial, you grow in spiritual insight, resulting in greater faith. Trials produce a greater understanding of God's word, God's will, and God's ways. So when you're going through a trial, this book should come alive. When you're going through a trial, I find that this book shouts. This book has a way of reading me like no other words in the world have a way of reading me. And when I'm going through a trial and I'm asking the question, okay, Lord, help me understand why I'm going through, what do you want to say to me? I mean, you have my attention. When God has my attention, He has a way of speaking through his word where things jump off the page. And if normally I read my Bible and, you know, some days he speaks a little more clearly than others and other days it's not so strong, but during a trial, oftentimes the words are jumping off the page in my heart, especially the words I don't want to see or hear, right? Because he's trying to make me aware of what his word says. Why is his word so important? Because his word will give you the answers to what you're looking for. That's why his word has always been from the very beginning, a place of debate. I mean, even the enemy, first thing the enemy says quoted in the Bible is what? Did God really say that? And I promise you, when you're going through a trial and you read what God says, you'll hear the enemy in your ear saying, did God really say that? I mean, that's different than your family did it. That's different than your office place does it. That's different than how you've ever handled money before. That's different than how you've ever handled a relationship. I mean, are you sure? Did God really mean? Yeah, he meant everything he says. He meant everything he says. And I found in my life through multicolored trials all the time, God's taught me how to love people different. He's taught me how to forgive people better. He's taught me how to pray blessing on people who have been hurtful to me. And I wish I could tell you, man, he's done so much. Because I could spend 5 hours talking about trials I've been through and ways God's grown me in it. But he's not done. I mean, I knew when I was preaching through the book of James and I'm looking at the first week, I'm like, okay, where's it going to come from now? And God was so gracious, he gave it to me. Right? All of the Sermon on the Mount is all the same stuff. You're blessed. And you get spiritual insight because you start asking questions like this during trials. Are there changes I need to make? Are there new ways I need to see things? Are there new opportunities I need to pursue? Is it just that you're wanting me to remain under and that this is terrible and this doesn't seem fair and this doesn't seem right, but I'm staying in this because I'm doing it for you, Jesus, because you gave it all for me and I'm giving it all for you. See, it's not just escaping it, because if you escape it, you get a retest because God loves you so much. And wouldn't we want greater spiritual insight? Wouldn't we want to result in greater faith? I mean, he must ask in faith, and when you know what God's doing, it says, for that man that asks without faith is double-minded, unstable in all of his ways. It's really two-souled. It's the two-faced person. They say this, but they act like that. God says this, they do that. And many of you, if you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, you've had the experience where you're counseling another believer, and I don't mean like in a formal counseling session, but you're talking to someone, they're going through a trial, and you're showing them in the Word, but this is what God says. And I know that's uncomfortable for you, but God wants you to stay in this. God wants you to fight like this. God wants you to forgive them. God actually wants you to pray blessing over them. And the person says, yeah, I see that, but I'm not doing that. I'm going to do just the opposite. And it breaks your heart, right? It happens all the time. It's God's word. And then what else is it? It's God's will. You want to know what God's will is? Everybody's always asked, what's God's will for my life? When you go through a trial, you'll understand the will of God much, much better. Because things will be spelled out for you. And you're asking the question, Lord, is this the way you want me to go? Because I want you to go this way. I want to do what you want me to do. And you'll understand God's ways. If you've ever met somebody that's significantly older in the faith, and you see them, and when they talk with just incredible wisdom, and they seem to know what to do in every situation, and you're almost like jealous of what they know of the Lord, and you're asking, I wish I had that kind of insight. When you have that person in your mind, just go ask them the question sometimes. Say, have you been through any trials in your life? And they will laugh at you. And then follow up with this. What are some of the trials you've been through in your life, and how have those trials grown you in Christ? And it's really interesting, because when you watch a believer go through a trial that endures through it, that remains under it, it's pretty obvious to say, man, they're going through it, and that stinks. And when somebody stays in there, and their prayer life is growing, and their love for God's growing, and their worship's growing, it does something in your heart, too, to say, I want to grow more like that. They're a testimony and a witness to the world because of their insight. And we all want to grow in our spiritual insight. We all want greater faith. And this is where it comes. It comes through trials. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. When you go through a trial, you have a new way of operating in faith. It's a new opportunity. It's a new experience. I mean, anything that comes in your life is an opportunity. I mean, you get a fight in your marriage, that's a marital opportunity. You get in a fight with your kids, it's a parenting opportunity. You got a challenge at work, that's a work opportunity. I mean, if you see it as opportunities to grow in Christ, you'll view the response differently. Invite Jesus into it. Say, I want to grow in spiritual maturity. I want to grow in spiritual insight. I want to be more like Christ. I want to have greater faith. That's what I want to do. God will come through. He'll do that. And then the third one, when you respond correctly to a trial, you grow in spiritual dependence, which results in greater power. Now, notice verses 9, 10, and 11. They seem as if they're out of place, but contextually they perfectly fit. Notice what he says. He says, but the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position, and the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Now he's talking about two different groups of people. He's talking about the one in humble circumstances. The one in humble circumstances, when they go through a trial, they do not have the money to get their way out of the trial, right? They don't have enough money at the end of the month to pay their bill. They don't have enough money when they get the call for cancer and they don't have the insurance to get it taken care of. They're in humble circumstances. They don't have the means to help get them out of the trial. And when that happens to you, glory in God. Glory in your position. Glory in the fact that you belong to Christ. Glory in the fact that this place is just temporary, even when you don't have the means to solve your problems. Amen? It's good news, right? And then he starts talking to the rich, and just so we're clear on who rich is, if you have a car and a house, you're rich compared to the whole world, okay? He's talking to the rich, and he says there's a time where trials come into lives, even if you have all the means, that money won't buy your way out of the trial. You can't buy your way out of cancer. You can't buy your way to extend your life. You can't buy a relationship. I mean, there's certain things that even money can't buy. And here's what he's saying to both groups of people. Whether you have the means or don't have the means, there are certain trials that come into your life you don't have the answers to. And if you do get answers where money can help, hey, be humble that God's the one that provided. If you don't, glory in the fact that God is the provider. Either way, we're totally dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ for whatever he wants to do. Because God has a way of orchestrating trials, regardless of your means, that hit your heart really, really hard. Rich people have trials, poor people have trials. And here's what God says, we're all passing and fading away. So don't try to get rich so you can take care of your trial. That's what he's trying to say. He's trying to say, cling dependence upon the Lord. And the more dependence you have on the Lord, the more you'll see spiritual power. You say, well, where do you get that from the Bible? Well, I'm glad you asked. In this very book, if you flip over to chapter 4, we'll get there, but I want to highlight this verse for you today. In chapter 4, verse 6, he says, therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is a quote from Proverbs 3, verse 34. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now we have to ask ourselves, well, what is grace? Grace is God's power on display in our life. Grace is the spiritual power that can take a person who is far from God, who is completely dead in their sins, who's doing their own thing, who's rebelling, and God's grace, his supernatural power, is able to rescue them from the kingdom of darkness, transfer them into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. That's power on display, amen? But God's power doesn't stop there. God's power continues on. In the book of Titus, as Paul writes to Titus in chapter 2, verse 11, he writes to him and he says this. He says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. All those who have been saved have been saved by the power of God. But notice, he doesn't stop there. Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what's he say? He says, yes, grace is the power that saves, but grace is also the power that sanctifies. And the same measure of grace you needed to get saved, which had nothing to do with you, you need that same measure of grace to continue to mature in Christ. Because maturity in Christ is what helps us to say no to ungodliness and worldly behavior and to live differently. I had the privilege this weekend of going back on Friday night to where God called me to a 100-person church to start my ministry. And as I was standing there, and I was kind of sharing, I'd even tried to get out. I was trying to think, I don't know if I want to go back. It's a long trip back. And flew in, flew out, got home at 2 a.m. But as I was standing there, God was telling me, and I shared it with the group, this right here is where I learned to preach. This right here is where I learned to pray. This right here is where I learned to evangelize. This right here is where I learned that the church was the hope of the world. I mean, right in that place, I was moved. And I've seen, even at that time, how God, over those years now, almost 30 years, has continued to grow my heart to deeper intimacy with him. And deeper spiritual power. We talk about gifts. We're like, I want more of that. I want to be used more of God. I want more of him. How do you get it? Through greater dependence upon him. That's why prayer will always be the most significant part of what we do at Brave. That's why no matter how many people come on the weekend, I celebrate the fact that we had over 1,500 people on 3 different campuses seeking the face of the Lord at First Tuesday this week. It was awesome. Because the more dependent you are on the Lord, the more spiritual power is unleashed in your life and in the life of those around you. The more salvations you'll see, the more maturity you'll see, the more holiness you'll see, because God cares about all of it. We've been duped into believing that all God cares about is getting you saved so you can go to heaven. And as many preachers, and I've said it before too, if that's all he cared about, as soon as you got saved, he'd kill you. Go to heaven. That's not what he cares about. He cares about you being a walking, talking representative of what it looks like to be growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord until you meet him face to face. Amen? That's the gospel. And that's what he wants. That's why even Paul, when he was going through all of his hardships, and three times he asked the Lord, remove it. And God said, I'm not taking that away from you. But my grace, my power is sufficient for you. Like, there's no trial you're going through that's too great for you. It feels that way. I give you that. It totally feels that way. Even sometimes when I'm talking to people and I know the trial they're going through, I think, I don't know that I could have handled that trial. I don't know if I could ever handle that trial. That's a massive trial, but it's not too big for God's grace. It's not too hard for him. And he's taking you through it to help build you into who he wants you to be. Spiritual dependence resulting in greater power. Now, can I just say this? If I would have told you today, I want to teach you today how you can have greater spiritual maturity and grow into Christ's likeness, and how you can have greater spiritual insight and grow in your faith, and how you can have spiritual dependence and grow in greater power, all of you would have said, come on, bring it on. So I did. This is how. It's through trials. Let me give you a final one. I love this one. When you respond correctly to a trial, you also grow in spiritual vitality, which is life. Fervency, resulting in greater love. Notice what James 1:12 says. It says, blessed or happy. Happy is a man or happy is a woman who perseveres. That's that word again. It endures early on. It's perseveres here. It's the same Greek word, hupomene. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. It means when you're feeling the weight and the walls are closing in and it's on top of you and you're like, Jesus, this is hard, but I'm going through this. For once he has been approved, that means once he's passed the test, once God says, good job, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. When you go through a trial, you will grow in your spiritual vitality or your fervency for the Lord, which will result in a greater love for God and a greater love for his people. Always does. I mean, when you go through a trial, there's something weird about going through a trial. Like when you're in it, it's hard. When you're in it, it's difficult because God's stripping away all the things on the outside. It's like Michelangelo, you know, designing a statue, and he in his mind and his gifted mind can see what the statue is supposed to look at. So he starts chiseling away things that most of us would look at. Why is he cutting there? And why is he doing that? And all of a sudden, this beautiful statue comes. That's what a trial is like. God's chipping away and chiseling and cutting and doing. And oh, this is uncomfortable. Why are you doing that? Because at the end, God wants to present us faultless before the Father. He's going through that. And there's something on this side of heaven. If a trial is temporary where it ends on this side of heaven and you go through it and you come out the other side, everything I've just told you, you'll know is true. And you'll thank God for it. And you'll say things like, I know I'm closer to Jesus. I know I love God more. I've never experienced God quite in this way. His word has come alive to me. I know his ways in a different way than I've ever known before. It is so, so good. God, don't ever do that again. Right? I mean, that's kind of how it feels. And then there's other trials that I believe that may be a part of your life until you meet Jesus. Just maybe, because we don't get to choose the duration. So I have no problem if you have cancer praying for God to heal you of cancer. I have no problem if you're looking for a job praying that God provides for you. I have no problem praying God's blessing and providence over your life. I just have no problem with that. But it could be that some of us, for some reason, unbeknownst to even us, that God in all of his wisdom has decided, no, this one's going to hang and linger for a long time. Because there's something special I'm creating in and through you. And one day, when I show you the tapestry of everything I was able to do with the world, you'll see how I used you for greatness. And you'll see how I was preparing you for that. And that's a beautiful thing, and we love it, but we don't enjoy the process. The process is never fun. I've never talked to somebody that's a world-class athlete that says, I don't really care about the games, I just like practicing. You know, I've never talked to a surgeon that says, you know, I enjoy that, but I love school. I wish I could be back in school. If they are, then they go back and teach. I mean, at the end of the day, all the things that are difficult that we go through, we don't enjoy any of them. It's the fruit that comes out of it. And when we're approved by God and we pass that test, ultimately, what James is preparing us for is this. He's going to tell us later in this book that life is but a vapor. I mean, it's temporary here. I don't know how long you're gonna live, but if you live another 100 years, it's a blink compared to what's coming. And he's telling you, if you endure this till the end, you're gonna receive the crown of life which God has prepared for those who love him. This crown was not like a regal crown. It was more like a wreath that was given at the Olympic Games to those who were victors, right? To those who were part of the winning team, right? That's what you're gonna get. I mean, it's very similar to what the Apostle Paul said that you'll be familiar with at the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, when he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Then what's he say? He says, now there is in store for me, laid up for me, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I mean, when you go through trials, I'm telling you, you're gonna yearn more for Jesus. You're gonna yearn more for heaven. You're gonna yearn more for him to come set up his kingdom in this world, because this world's hard, and it's a challenge, and it's okay. But that's what God wants to do. You say, well, how does my spiritual vitality result in more love? It's easy. Because when you go through that and you press in to the all-loving being of the universe, you're gonna fall more in love with him. And guess what? You're gonna love his creation a lot more too. Because there's something about being in the presence of the one that created it all, that loves all, where you begin to love others that way too. Sometimes your trial, you think, is other people, but we learned as we went through the last series, it's not flesh and blood, it's what the enemy's doing through those people. But God teaches you, hey, I forgave you so you can forgive them. You love the way I love. And the whole Bible summed up in love for God and love for others. So that's what God teaches you when you go through a trial. God, how do I love you more? And how do I love other people more? And if you'll endure that and you'll remain under that, there's great maturity that comes from that, which is why God sends trials your way. He loves you so much. Brave Church, he loves you so much. I can promise every single person here who's breathing, he's gonna send some trials your way because he loves you that much. And don't be surprised or think it's strange. Like, why now? Now I'm walking with the Lord. I'm doing what he wants. And now all of a sudden, because now you're walking with the Lord and doing what he wants. And that's why he's got your attention. It's okay. I find the more steps of faith I take, the more trials I get to endure. And I know it won't stop on this side of heaven. And there's never a time I've had one, whether it be this week or any other time, where I've said, oh, that was fun. That was awesome. Give me more of that. But I've been trained enough by my trials over the years to know, Lord, this is an opportunity. I wasn't ready for this opportunity. I wasn't looking forward to this opportunity. I didn't even know this opportunity was on my plate, but if you, in your sovereignty, decided to give it to me, Lord, help. What do you want to teach me? How do you want to grow me? What is it I'm blind to? What is it I'm not seeing? What is it you're trying to build? I'll stay in this with you because I want what you want, because I want to grow. I want to grow my love for you and for others. Lord, that's what I want. So even though I hate this trial, I'm thanking you for it.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, and a message titled, The Blessings of Trials. We're at the start of a brand new study in the book of James called Walk Your Talk. And if there's any part of this series you'd like to revisit or share with friends, visit our website, bravemedia.online. And whether you're just joining us at Brave or you're a longtime listener, thank you so much for being here today. It's our mission and joy to save, mature, and multiply brave disciples of Jesus Christ every week. And we're thankful for listeners who share this passion and make the bold decision to partner with us in our efforts by supporting Brave with a donation of any amount. Today, we invite you to make your generous donation to help ensure we can continue these Bible teaching programs and keep spreading the truth of God's Word on the air, both in your local community and across the nation. Our world is in desperate need of the gospel. So take a stand today and help more people hear these biblical messages by clicking the Donate tab at bravemedia.online or by calling us at 360-552-7283. You can also send your check in the mail. Address your envelope to Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado 80113. And if you're in the Denver area, we'd love for you to join us in person for weekend services at Brave Church. Join us this Sunday for worship and a new sermon from Pastor Jeff, and connect with our growing Christ-centered community. Visit any of our three campuses in Englewood, Westminster, and our newest campus in Colorado Springs. And if you're listening elsewhere, join us through our live stream. You'll find details to attend or stream weekend services at bravemedia.online. Head to the bottom of our homepage and click the button labeled Brave Church. I'm your host, Bill Carl, and tomorrow Pastor Jeff continues his new series, Walk or Talk, by offering empowering insight into the origin and reality of temptation. Discover how to overcome the enemy's schemes and walk in victory. Next time on Brave. with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.